What a great mental picture to think about God running after you with his goodness. I love that song. Thank you, worship team, for just leading us into the truths of who our God is. And as we begin today, I'm going to have you stand again. And so you just sat down, but you can stand again. So if you would you stand? We're going to read a verse together, and it is what will be rolling around in our heads as we walk through this service. And so, can we put that verse on? There we go. Let's read this together. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them." May God bless the quoting of his word. May you can sit down. This is really the heart of what we've been talking about. This life that he has for us. Jesus says, "I've come to give you life to the full." And he means this. And part of life to the full is that God isn't over here, but he's very present in our lives. And so we are talking about this summer, what are the spiritual disciplines? They are not obligations, but they're invitations to God's grace. They're invitations to these rooms where the presence of God dwells. And they're made for us as pathways to his presence. And so whether it's silence or scripture or prayer, it's not about earning. It's about receiving God's grace. It's not about earning his grace, but receiving his grace. And so we're going to be looking at today one of those disciplines. And that discipline is meditation. And we're going to be looking and unpacking that because it is an important, room in God's house for us to be able to hang out with him, to be able to have this presence of God in our life, is that we meditate on the Word of God. And so let's pray, and then we're going to get into that. Father, we come, and God, we want to obey your teachings. We want to understand how much you truly love us and how much your goodness truly runs after us. God, we want you to dwell in us in such a way that we sense your presence all the time. As we open your word, as we look at your word today, we just invite you. We just invite you to be a part of this time that we have together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want you to do right now is I want you to think about your very, very favorite fast food. And I want you to tell the person next to you, what's your fast food that you love? And don't be all like that, I don't ever eat fast. You eat fast food or you've eaten fast food. If you eat, like, just whatever it is, tell the person next to you, what is your fast food of choice? All right, what's some of the fast food that you love? Quick Trip. Interesting. Okay, Whoppers. Okay, what else? Anybody else? What is it? Culver's. Nice. That's kind of like mid fast, right? Like, that's not super fast, right? I'm a Taco Bell guy myself. I love the Taco Bell. I know it's not real Mexican food, but it is delicious, and I love that stuff. But think about this. If you ate fast food just all the time, every day, what would happen to you? It'd make you weak, probably. It'd make you sluggish. It'd make you malnourished. If you just ate McDonald's fries, delicious, salty, greasy, wonderful little sticks of potatoes, right? And you just ate, like, it would do something to your body, and probably it would balloon it up a bit. But it would do some other things too, right? Like, it would do something and it would show. Well, I think the same thing happens to us spiritually. We treat scripture sometimes like a drive-through. It's just an obligation. We just start reading it. We get it done. We have our morning devotions, and those are good. Don't get me wrong, to have big chunks of scripture. But if I asked you, let's say Monday, I said, hey, what did you read this morning in Scripture? And now we're at like 8 o'clock at night on Monday. You'd be like, I don't know. And I don't think that is how God intended us to interact with Scripture. I think it's more like this. Think of the very best meal that you've ever had at a restaurant. Think about that for just a moment. Like just the most delicious thing that you've ever eaten, like the whole course of this meal. And you'll probably describe it with things like, it was so delicious. It was so savory. It was so wonderful. Right? That's how you would describe it. You're not describing McDonald's fries like that. You're saying salty deliciousness, right? But you remember that meal. I think that's what God intended us to do. When he told us to meditate on his word, to know his word in such a way that it's delicious to us, that it's savory to us, and we treat it something different than it actually is. I think it was Dallas Willard who said this. He said that, you know, it'd be better for us to learn 10 verses in memorization of the Word of God than to read through the whole Bible in a year. And I think he might be onto something there. I don't think reading through the Bible is a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. You need to know the large narrative of Scripture. But how do we internalize this? How do we hold on to this? How do we have it so it's this delicious meal to us? This is what meditation does. In Psalms, chapter 1. It says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delights is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by a streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. And so you see this word meditation, you see this word in here is blessed is the one. Blessed is the one that does what? Does not walk in step with the wicked. What does that mean? That means that they don't take their cues from the culture. They don't take their cues from the flow of the loudest voice out there, for the trendiest voice out there. They go, no, that is not how I'm going to take my next step. Well, how I'm going to take my next step is I'm going to delight in the law or the word of God. I'm going to delight in this in such a way that it's going to, it's not just going to inform me, it's going to form me in a direction. And there's this idea that we meditate on it day and night. To meditate, what this word means is it means to roll around in your mind. So we have something that we roll around in our mind. Here's the reality. You are always rolling something around in your mind. Right now, you may be doing your grocery list. I don't know, but there's something in your mind that's rolling around in there. And when it says to meditate on it, it says, man, I want you to have this rolling around in your head. And I think that's what Dallas Willard was getting at. Like, we have this passage of Scripture or this big chunk, like 3 chapters a day, and you'll get through the Bible in a year, right? And you read it really quickly and you get it done and you check the box off, but it's not rolling around in your head. It's not just there. And this passage says, those who meditate on his law, who delight in the law day and night. And then it tells us what the result of this person is. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So they're planted, right? They're not drifting, not pulled by every storm. They're solid. They're stable, they're rooted, and they're by streams of water. It's constant nourishment. You're not dependent on outside circumstances for life. You're dependent on the one who gives life, who gives living water. It yields fruit in season. That's spiritual maturity. Your character producing like real, visible, life-giving fruit to others. The leaves do not wither. Oh, what does that mean? It means like, and those hard seasons, and we all have them, those lands in the middle where we're not where we're supposed to be yet, we're kind of wandering, your faith doesn't wander. It doesn't wither. It stands strong. And it says, whatever they do, they prosper. That doesn't mean financial gain. That means alignment. Alignment with God's best for you. That means God is moving in. There's a presence of God in your life. Meditation connects the truth of God's word with the rhythm of real life. Our biggest spiritual problem, though, I think, as the American church, isn't that we don't have knowledge of God. I don't think that's it. Like if I said, hey, take your Bible app right now and hit it. And most of you could do that pretty quickly. You have a Bible app. And then it'll give you like 300 translations, right? You can have it sent to your phone. You can have this happen. And there's a lot of flannel graphs that you've seen growing up maybe in church. And you have Bible knowledge. But you forget. I forget. We forget the goodness of God. We forget His holiness. We forget what it cost Him. We forget that we're blood-bought sons and daughters of the Most High. And that He's good all the time. I'll just say that's not just our problem. It's been God's people's problem from the very beginning. In Deuteronomy 4:9, this is a passage that is Moses, and he's speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says this. He says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And then it goes down in chapter 6, and it says, take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. These are people who saw, they were in captivity, and God show up in like all of these plagues. Like there's a big Red Sea in front of them. The nation of Egypt is coming after them, and God parts it. There is like, out in the wilderness, cruising around, no food, 2 million people, and God provides food for them over and over and over again. Every day, He provides manna for them. Oh, they don't have water. And out of a rock comes water. Like, they've seen some things. They've seen some things. And what does Moses tell them? Lest you forget the Lord. It's not just our problem. I think it is, it's our problem. Well, what are the consequences of forgetfulness? Well, the book of Judges tells us. It tells us what happens. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and they served Baals and Asherah. The people of Israel, this is Judges 8:34, it says, the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all of their enemies on every side. Forgetting God is the first step toward walking away from Him. Meditation is part of how we remember. It's a part of our daily rhythm. One of the best ways that we can meditate on the Word of God is memorization. And some of you are going, I don't memorize well. I'll raise my hand. I'm not great at it. But I will tell you that it's something I have to work at. It's something that I have to put time in. And I would tell you this. Now, if I said, you know, Evangel's going to do a project this summer for every verse that you memorize. We're not doing this, just that the lawyers told me I have to say this. We're not really doing this. But every verse, we will give you $1,000. How many of you would be all in on that idea, right? Just in, right? Like, how many verses would you get done? Like, a lot? Well, what does that tell us? It's a value thing. It's a value thing. It's not that we can't. It's what we value. It's what we value. So the issue isn't ability, it's value. Psalms 119:11, it says this. It says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He says, man, meditate, memorize this so that, man, you remember who God is, so you don't go against his way of life that he has for you, which is called sin. In Proverbs, a daddy's talking to his son. In chapter 7, he says, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Write them on a tablet of your hearts. Write them on this tablet of your hearts. When we memorize scripture, we carry God's truth into moments that we need it most. Like some of us, we have some anxiety things going on. Sometimes you're walking and you're just tempted. You're just tempted. And we carry it there. We're carrying it when we're discouraged or we're confused. Meditation isn't about mastering the Bible. Listen to this. Meditation is about letting the Bible master you. I wonder sometimes how pleased God is when we have the Word of God in us and we like quote it in our minds. That's what's rolling around in our minds. And it's just like we're in one of those situations and we're like, man, God, you are my refuge. You are my strength. Psalms 46:1. Man, I believe that today as I'm living in this. And he's like, man, that's my kid. He's quoting my words. Like, how exciting is that, I think, for God? If you're a dad, have you ever had that moment where your kid quotes you on something and you're like, man, that's my boy, right? Like we were at our house and it was a very early on, in kind of the first couple of years we were at our house and we have lots of apple trees. And these apple trees produce apples. And it was one of those apple years where it was just like we just had so many. And that was back in the time where I believed that it was going to hurt my lawnmower if I ran them over. I don't believe that anymore. I just run them over. But so we had to pick them and throw them in wheelbarrows and take them out into the woodsy area. And so we were all out there picking as a family. And little Finley, he's about 4 years old at the time. And he looks up at me as we're picking. And, you know, he's doing the work of a four-year-old, right? He's throwing these things in the wheelbarrow. And he looks up at me and he goes, Dad, if a man don't work, a man don't eat. I was so proud of that boy. Because I would say that to him. Like, come on, we got to do this. You got to understand this. You have to do this. This is like what God says. We have to work. I wonder how proud God is when we quote his words, how excited he is that we've digested it in such a way that we can live by it. I think this is important for the church. Memorizing God's word is something Jesus himself did. Remember, this is the one that the Father was well pleased. This is his one and only Son, and Jesus memorized the word of God. Remember this. Because you might be going, well, he's God. Yeah, he is God. He's 100% God. Absolutely. He was also 100% human. Meaning this, that he had to grow in his knowledge. The Bible tells us that. He had to, we don't have a lot in that first 30 years of his life. What was he doing? He was studying, he was memorizing, he was understanding. He was growing. The scriptures tell us that he humbled himself and he took on flesh. He humbled himself, that he had to grow in this knowledge. He was God. But in this moment in time, he humbled himself and he grew in this. So then his ministry comes. His time comes where he is going to take that 3 years, 3.5 years of his life, and he is going to change the world. That the Father is going to glorify him. He's walking toward the cross, that the sacrifice for you and for me is going to happen. His blood shed on the cross for you and me, that's going to happen. But before he does that, he goes out and he's fasting. He's sitting in the presence of his heavenly Father. He's living in this 40 days in the grace of his heavenly Father. Then Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Bible's kind of literal there, and we kind of go, duh, of course he was hungry. He hasn't eaten for 40 days or 40 nights. And the tempter, Satan, came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What does Jesus do here? He quotes scripture. He's quoting. He's not doing an ish version of it, like God will provide, right? What is he doing? He's going, man, this is what the word of God says, and he fights against it. He fights against what the devil is doing in this moment. And this isn't the whole story, but he uses the word of God. He wields the sword of the word of God. This is Ephesians 6. It talks about the word of God and it says it's a sword to be wielded. And Jesus in this moment is wielding the sword. He's wielding the sword. And when he says, "It is written," and he says this four times, "It is written," and he just quotes the word of God, because there's going to be some of these temptations that happen. In this one, it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God," or comes from the mouth of God. And what is he saying here? He is quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. The Bible talks about the word of God being a two-edged sword. Talks about this in Hebrews. Can we go to that Hebrews passage? "For the word of God is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to a dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." This is the word of God. This is the thing that Jesus was using. This is the thing that Jesus was, he wasn't doing an ish thing of it. What was he doing? He was going, man, this is the very word of God that produces and penetrates and changes. Charles Spurgeon said this: "To fight with vague knowledge of scripture is like going into battle with the sheath still on the sword." I really like this quote. Like when we just have ish versions of the scripture and we don't have it like deeply seated in our hearts, think about your heart for a moment. It's like you're going at it in trying to penetrate something that's very calloused with a sheath on the sword. And it hits, but it never penetrates. You feel it, but it never penetrates. It never cuts. It never does what it's intended to do. Think about when you're dealing with that temptation or that anxiety, or the one who has come to seek and destroy, that's Satan. And you're in this place and in this space where you're going, man, I don't know if God is telling me the truth. It says that we wield the sword, we wield it against him. Jesus learned to wield the sword by memorizing the word, by allowing both edges of that sword to be sharp. He studied and he stored God's word faithfully so that he could say, it is written. We all have access to the Word of God. The question is, do we know how to use it? Do we know how to use it? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. The Word made flesh still had to learn the Word. We see this throughout the scriptures. And when he's 12 years old, he's like teaching, but he's also learning in the synagogue. Meditation moves the truth of God from your head to your heart. It's an incredible invitation. Incredible invitation from God. It's part of his grace. Not obligation. Not a duty, not a checklist, but just part of his grace for us. This is the life I want for you. You need to have these things in you that you may stand up against this world, stand up against the temptations that are already in your heart. Reading the Bible informs the mind. Meditation transforms the heart. It's the difference between knowing God's promises and believing them deeply enough to live by them. Blessed, back to that Psalms chapter 1, it says, blessed is the one what? Who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Meditation internalizes God's word until it becomes a part of how we think, how we respond, and how we live. The Hebrew word for delight, it's really this cool word. It means to take pleasure in, to desire, to deeply value. It's not about obligation then, it's about affection. You can know the Bible is true, even useful. You can study it, you can memorize it, and still not delight in it. My headlights on my car went out, and I went, and what did I do? I went, well, there's probably a fuse blown, right? That just makes sense. I don't sit with my car manual and just delight in it and just read it, right? Like at night. So I had to go to it, and it was useful to tell me where that fuse was and which one it was, and then I could change it out and put a new one in. That's not the Word of God. It's not a manual in that way. It is something that is warm and delightful and pushes us into the life that God always wanted for us. It's when we begin to meditate on it is when we begin to live in it. When we begin to understand it. How many of you guys enjoy a nice fire in the winter months, or maybe even yesterday, I don't know. It's a little chilly out at your house, like just a nice roaring fire, crackling, little smell of smoke in the air, and you're just sitting there, maybe a little music on, and you're just sitting there, and you feel the warmth of it. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? How many of you else like that? Anybody else enjoy that? I'd enjoy that. How many of you know that you can get that on your TV? There's an app, right? It's not the same. It's not the same. One is you're living in it. You're enjoying it. And you have this beautiful thing on your TV. It's crackling little fire. And maybe even has tunes behind it. And yet it's a picture of the reality, but it isn't the reality. And when we meditate on the Word of God, it becomes this reality that is warming to our soul. It changes things inside of us. We delight in it. It's not just the content to be studied, it's a companion to be cherished. Knowing truth isn't the same as living by it. And Andrew Bennett said this. He said, the longest journey you will ever take is 18 inches from your head to your heart. It's one thing to know God is my refuge and strength. It's another to remember it on the drive to the doctor's office in the middle of a sleepless night or when your kid just broke your heart. That kind of recall doesn't come from casual reading. It comes from allowing the Bible to the scripture to roll around in your head until it sticks in your soul. Another thing that meditation does, one, it helps us to remember. Then another thing it does is it helps us to focus. It forces us into self-awareness. Let's go back to that passage in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4:9. So this is Moses. Remember, Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land. He's been the leader of the people for a long time. And this is his farewell speech. They're about to go into the land God had promised them generations ago. This land that's filled with milk and honey. This wonderful place that God is going to give them. And they're standing on the edge of the promised land. Really on this brink of entering into what God has promised them. And he's going to say this. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Well, what has God promised us? If Moses was here today, what has God promised us? He said, Jesus said this, here's the promised land. I've come to give you life in abundance. I have come to give you this life that I always wanted for you. You need to abide in me, but I want you this life for you. If Moses was speaking to us, what would he say? He'd say, don't forget what God has done. Don't let these moments fade from your memory. Don't drift into apathy. Teach this to your kids and your grandkids. Because if you forget, if you stop watching your heart, it won't just be your memory that suffers. It'll be your future. Only be careful and watch yourself closely. Let's be honest for just a moment with each other. I think we're probably a little better at looking at other people and kind of pointing that something out in their lives than we are at looking at our own lives, of reflecting on our own hearts. We can spot someone else's issue a mile away. You know, bless her heart. She's a little controlling, right? We can see that a mile away. Did you see that Facebook post? He's clearly going through something. But when it comes to us, it's a little bit more difficult to be self-aware. It's hard to know what's kind of going on. And we will make excuses, things like, I'm just tired. Or, I've been under a lot of pressure. Oh, it's fine. I'm fine. Everything is fine. And Moses comes along in Deuteronomy 4 and he says, actually, it might not be fine. You need to be careful and you need to watch yourself closely. The word in Hebrew behind careful, be careful, it means to guard, to keep watch, to pay attention. It's like God's going, Moses, through Moses, he's saying, don't sleepwalk, guys, through life. You guard this, you pay attention, you be proactive. It's not about paranoia. It's about proactive attention. I think that we don't want these things in our life. I think though it's very hard for us to use the Word of God when we don't have it rolling around in our minds to really kind of go, I'm going to be careful about my attitude, about how I think about things, about this over here, because we don't see how we wander at times. Watch yourself isn't just an Old Testament version of check yourself before you wreck yourself. It kind of is, but it's not. It's deeper than that. It's an invitation. You're sitting in the presence of God. It's an invitation from God's, by God's grace, rooted in the truth of God's word to be self-aware. You know, we're careful about certain things, like how we go downstairs. Maybe if we're speeding, we're looking for police and we're careful for that, right? Maybe it's your thing is like calorie counting, and you're very careful during the week so you can wreck a pizza on Saturday, right? Like that. Maybe that's you. Like we're careful about certain things, but when it comes to our hearts, Moses is telling us, you be careful. You meditate. You understand. Don't forget. There's a famous quote by Socrates. He says this, an unexamined life is not worth living. And for a Christian, watching your heart isn't about fear, it's about freedom. Because the more attention you give to your inner life, the more aligned you become with the life God always wanted for you. So here's the question I want to leave you with. What are you feeding on? What occupies the tumble time of your mind? What's rolling around? Because the truth is, you will think about something today. You will meditate on something today. The only question is what is that going to be? Will it be worry, a to-do list, the awkward conversation that's still echoing in your head? Or will it be the living, breathing, active Word of God? Because the Word of God is not just ink on a page. It's a sword when you're under attack. It's water when you're dry. It's a fire that warms the coldest parts of your heart. And most of us, when you begin to do this, I think you sense the presence of God in your life. When you allow the Word of God to begin to roll around, to meditate on it, different than reading, just reading huge portions. And we're going to get to that, why we read Scripture like that. And that's good. I'm not saying that's not good. But to meditate on it, to savor it, to delight in it is something different. And it's a beautiful thing. So, as I promised, we have a really practical way of helping you, of helping us to do this. And so you'll see like a bunch of dry erase markers. We're inviting you to take one of those, and we're going to memorize a verse together. We're going to allow it to roll around in our head for a week. If you're a reality reader, these are going to be a part of your Sunday experience. You will begin to get these once a week, and we're just going to sit for a week on that one verse. The verse that we've chosen As Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And so we want you just to let that roll around, to go around in your head all week long. And we want kids to do this. This is a family activity. Remember what the Bible says. You like, teach this to your kids. Teach this to the next generation. Allow it to begin to roll around in their heads, lest they forget. Let's not do that. Let's do this together. And so you have a marker, you have a little card. Write it on a mirror. Write it on a sliding glass window. But as a family, just read it. Just take it in. Savor it for a week. If there's a verse that means a lot to you, or a verse that just has helped you, we would love to hear about that too. So you can text us, you can use the church number, or if there's something that's like, man, I just need hope in this area, would you do a verse, or could we do a verse on this? I'm not promising anything, but one of the great ways that we begin to meditate, when we begin to get this in, and we start with these large promises of God. And then we move in this direction. And so if there's something that you just need right now, please text us, because we want to know that. We don't want to just select these way over here, but we want you to know this week that God is making his home with you. To let that roll around. What does that mean? What does that look like? And then maybe at a family dinner with your kids, what do you think? How did that work for you this week? What did that look like this week? And just asking that question. Just believing that God is going to use that in some way. And it might not be some profound thing. It may be he's storing it up for later for you. And he's going to use that food, that nourishment at a later time, in a later moment in a space. But if you have something, please text us. Please let us know, because we want to develop this where we're doing this once a week together. Pick one of these up. They're free to you. Write it on a mirror. Write it on something in your home, that we can begin to meditate together on the Word of God. Let's pray together. God, we ask that we would flourish, that you would give us peace, shalom, which means flourishing, because of your word, because of the way of life that you have designed for us. God, we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we ask that we would walk in his ways. Those moments and times this week where we're wandering, we're forgetting. God, remind us of your word that we've learned. Allow your spirit to change us. Allow your spirit to remind us of who we are, of what you've told us, the life that you want for us. God, you want good for us. Your goodness chases us. Your goodness runs after us. Let it run after us this week as we take this time, as we take this moment to meditate, to chew on, to believe that your word is for us. And it's not just for us. It is good for us. God, let us believe that. And let us delight in what you have for us this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.